Welcome to the sermon podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode.
We're honored to be here. My wife is here with me, and my son is in the nursery. He's been in there all morning. Thank you to Chris's mom for bearing with him the first service, and let's just all be praying for whoever's in there now. And but no, we're super honored to be here. We've been a part of the South Hills family for a little over 2 years now, and I grew up in Atlanta. And I spent most of my life in Georgia, and so if you hear a little bit of a southern drawl start to come out, that's why. Moved to South Florida, that's where I met my wife. And from South Florida, we moved to New York City. We were in New York City for 6.5 years, and then made our way to LA to be a part of South Hills a little over 2 years ago. And absolutely love it, grateful to be a part of this church and to get to do what we do. And an honor to be with you guys this morning. But we're going to get into the message, and can I tell you, I love this month because I just believe that healthy families matter to God. I believe that healthy families can make such a big difference in our world. And so even if you find yourself, Lord, here we go, puberty. But even if you find yourself in a season where you come to church and we're talking about family and you're like, well, I'm single, I'm not in that phase of life, you come from a family. So it all matters. It all pertains to you. And so I just want to encourage you to lean in this morning. And but can I pray for us before we get into the word? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in community with one another. And God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. And I pray that's exactly what it would be for us today. And right where you are, if you would just pray this with me. God, if you speak, I'll listen. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Throughout this month, we've been looking at how to resist the five lies that ruin relationships. And the lie that we're going to talk about today is we've got each other, so we don't need anybody else. We've got each other, so we don't need anybody else. Anybody in here homebodies? Like, you just love to be at home. Hallelujah, amen. All right, I'm a homebody, and that only got heightened when my wife and I got married. I remember we had probably been married for about 4 to 5 months, and our friends, when they would see us, they would be like, man, like, you know, we just feel like we haven't seen you guys a whole lot since you got married. I'm confused, because I'm like, well, you're seeing me right now. So what are you talking about? Like, you know, like we just feel like we used to hang out all the time. And we used to do all these things together. And in my head, I'm like so confused. I'm like, yeah, but I'm here now. We're right here. Let's go do all those things you want to do, right? And then when we got home, I was talking to Tess, and I was like, man, it's so weird that these people think we just all of a sudden disappeared, even though we're standing right in front of them. And we had a conversation about it, and what we came to realize is, like, once we got married, we actually did just kind of start to, like, become our own little thing. And the frequency by which we spent time with friends, like, from before we were married, it did change. And part of me was okay with it, because I'm looking at it from the perspective of, well, my life has changed. I went from dating to engaged and now married. I went from not living with anyone to living with my wife, and my whole life has actually changed. And so it makes sense that everything else in my life is going to look different. And this can be frustrating for both sides of the equation, right? Because if you're the person whose relationship status isn't changing, it's tough to have someone who's had unlimited time, because that's how we think about it, unlimited time to hang out with you and to be around you, and all of a sudden, because they've entered a new season of life, all of a sudden they've just kind of disappeared, and they're no longer able to be there for you the same way that they were. And balance can be hard to find in this area, right? Because I think we all know people who kind of devote themselves to their family at the cost of their friends, right? We know the opposite. We know people who've devoted themselves to their friends at the cost of their family. And most of us don't know a lot of people who have an ideal balance of both. That's because every single one of us only has so much time and energy to give and to use. And so we have to make judgment calls. And the knee-jerk reaction for many of us is family first, which is really just code for family only. Right, we say we're putting our family first, and really what that turns into is family only, which can sound like a noble thing, but you end up with someone who expects their spouse to meet all their needs, and then the spouse ends up smothering them. You end up with helicopter parents who pressure their kids to do and be what they wish they could have done or been. You end up with kids who are so sheltered and reliant on their parents, they don't know how to function in the real world. You end up with parents who overshare their problems and emotions with their kids because they don't have any friends of their own. You end up with parents who have a complete breakdown when they're in the empty nest phase because they have no relationships outside of their own children. And part of the reason we end up here is because we're sold this myth in our culture that when you find and settle down with the right person, they'll complete you. They'll make you whole. They're the missing piece in your puzzle. Right? They'll fulfill you and they'll meet all your needs. The two of you will have kids and a family and you'll just become your own little self-sustaining microcosm. It'll be your family against the world, but there's so many flawed ideas in that picture. Right? Think about if you're a single person. Are you just broken, incomplete, and flawed for the rest of your life? If this is what we believe, if this is what we set out to fixate our purpose and our dreams and our desires on, right? And think about the pressure that you put on anyone that you date or end up with to be your everything, an expectation so impossible that no one can actually measure up. Life is about becoming capable, responsible adults, not just being a part of a couple or a family. And this requires us to connect our lives to God and the body of Christ, not just another person. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. You cannot extract from one person what you were designed to receive from an entire community. You cannot extract from one person what you were designed to receive from an entire community. And we need all sorts of friends and mentors to show us how to be a mature adult. And guess what? You can be a mature Jesus-following, Jesus-loving person without ever getting married or without ever having kids. But guess what you can't have? You can't have a marriage or family, a healthy one at least, without becoming a mature adult. Right? Leading psychologists, they define adult as this, a person capable of caring for their whole being, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and have accepted full responsibility to do so. Right? Many of us think we're adults, but have we actually accepted that the responsibility to make sure that we're healthy in every aspect of our life, have we accepted that responsibility, that it's my responsibility to make sure that I am growing in those areas? This isn't something that we're born knowing how to do. It's something that we're taught and that we grow into. We all enter the world as helpless children, completely dependent on others, and good, effective parents, they support our growth and develop it by doing less for us as we become able and encouraging us to learn how to proactively take care of ourselves. And this is the primary responsibility of parenting. But with that said, being a mature adult is not a status that you achieve once and automatically sustain for the rest of your life. It's something that you have to work at, right? You have to work at it in order to sustain it for the rest of your life. Emotional, physical, spiritual health are a lot like physical health. And in that way, it's not like you diet and exercise and you reach a point where you're healthy so you can do whatever you want now because you achieved health, right? How many of us, we work out because we just want to keep eating the way that we're eating, right? Come on, we can be honest. I'm that way, right? I work out so I can keep eating Burger King. I love Burger King. I offended some people at first service when I said I like Burger King. I can go down the list. Burger King, Raising Cane's. Oh, my gosh. That Texas toast at Raising Cane's. My gosh. Chick-fil-A. Man. Whew. Them chicken minis and breakfast. My gosh. And I can keep going on and on. McDonald's, best French fries. Man, those things hit every time. Right? And so I work out. I remember I used to work out in order to keep eating the way that I eat. And here's what's funny. I don't think we realize this, but we do the same thing with our emotional health. We do the same thing with our mental health. We do the same thing with our spiritual health. There are certain things that we do in those different areas of our life simply to justify the other behaviors that we have happening in that part of our life. Right? For us, many of us, we might be showing up to church thinking that we're doing something for our spiritual health when really we're just trying to justify, maybe feel better about our week. It has nothing to do with becoming more like Jesus, which is the goal. The goal of this whole faith journey is to just, as each day goes by, man, I'm doing my best. I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm doing my best to just be more like Jesus. All right, but some of us, we come to church on Sunday, and it's just for us, it's just, we're just checking the box. Right? And then I'm going out and I'm living my life, but I feel better about my decisions because, hey, I went to church on Sunday. I sat in a room for a little over an hour and I listened to some music. I heard someone talking. And so it's making me feel better about Monday through Saturday. But it's not really about growing. It's not really about becoming healthy. It's not really about becoming more like Jesus. And so the moment we stop doing the things that make us healthy, our health will start to deteriorate. And in the Bible, God seems to think that it takes a lot of interactions with a lot of other people on an ongoing basis to continue becoming who He designed all of us to be. And if you're taking notes, here's our big idea today. Everyone needs healthy friendships outside their family to fulfill their God-given destiny. Everyone needs healthy friendships outside their family to fulfill their God-given destiny. Many of us get trapped in thinking about friendship in a very narrow sense, right? We think of it exclusively as interactions that are always fun, social, and easy. But the way God seems to define friendship is much broader and more intentional. Look at what 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10, it says this. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And notice that we're given the type of love, right, that we're supposed to show to one another. It says a love that covers a multitude of sins. And can I tell you, that is hard. That's not easy. Oftentimes, it's not fun, right? But it's making a difference in someone's life. Verse 9, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Look at what 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, it says this, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And can I tell you, there's moments where encouraging someone, it's not fun. Sometimes it's not easy. Building other people up, sometimes it's not fun. It's not easy, but maybe this is what God is calling us to do. Lastly, look at James 5, 16. It says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And when we read those verses, we can recognize that friends aren't people that we ditch our family to go have fun with, but they're people that help us love and actually serve our families better. Right? That friends help us to be better for our families. This means different things at different phases of our lives, right? Because some of us feel like we can't have friends in our current season because we're not in that season anymore of going to grab drinks and hitting up the club, right? Some of y'all are like, why are you staying out till 3 in the morning? My gosh. Right, like we were at Universal and I'm sitting there, I'm at this stage where I'm like, why is the music so loud? Like, I'm just walking like in the middle of the park, why is it so loud? Right, my wife who, she is so proud that she was not afraid of anything last night. She's wearing it like a badge of honor. We came out of one of these like house things and she's looking at me and she's like, man, like I feel like I'm losing my voice, not because I'm screaming, and that was the jab at me. She goes, not because I'm screaming, because I'm having to talk so loud, right? And I'm just at that phase, I'm like, oh my gosh, why is it so loud? All right, and some of us, we think that we can't have the same friends that we have because of the current season that we're in, maybe trying to grow in different parts of our life. And it's not that you can't have those friends, but maybe you need different friends who do different things that serve a different purpose for you. It's okay. It's okay to have different friends who do different things that are serving a different purpose for you. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Healthy friends come alongside you in the season that you're in
to support where you're at and where you're going. Healthy friends come alongside you in the season that you're in to support where you're at and where you're going. Every time friendship was highlighted in the Bible, that's exactly how we see it framed. David had incredible friends outside of his family all throughout his lifetime. They weren't the same type of person, and they didn't provide the same type of relationship to David, but he needed each of them to be and do everything that God had called him to do, right? In the book of 1 Samuel, we see Samuel encourage and choose to believe in David when no one else did. We see Jonathan allow David to be real and vulnerable when everyone else expected David to be tough. In the book of 2 Samuel, we see the mighty men that surrounded David that helped him sharpen his skills and push him to achieve greatness. And we see Nathan critique, call him out, challenge David in a way that nobody else could or would. And this isn't even the entire list. And you know why this is good news? Because for some of us in our family, we don't have someone who's going to choose to believe the best about us right now. Because in our family, we may not have someone that we can be real and vulnerable with right now. In our family, we might not be surrounded by people who are helping us sharpen our skills and help us getting to the places that we want to get to in our life. Maybe in our family, we don't have the person who's going to challenge us in such a way that would lead us in the direction of growth. And so this is good news if that's your story. But what we can take away from David's life is that the types of friends we need will evolve as our life evolves, right? So Tess and I, we have a little guy who's almost 2 years old. And can I tell you that our friends look drastically different than they did 5 years ago? Right, all of our friends now are people who have kids similar age to Zion. And we hang out with all of our kids and we sit around and we look at ourselves and we're talking, and then we take a moment, we take a step back and we see all our kids playing and we look at each other and we say, man, this is our life now. Look how peaceful it is, how joyful it is, how not chaotic it is. It's so wonderful, so full of life. It's so fun. It's not tiring at all. Man, it's amazing. This is our life, all right? I look at our friends now. We have more friends than we ever have who have kids who are older than our son. Why? Because, man, they've experienced some things we haven't experienced yet, all right? And we still have our friends who aren't at that stage of life, the same stage of life as us. It just looks different, and so the relationships at every stage have to evolve. And that doesn't mean you don't stay friends with the same people, right? But you got to understand how the relationship can continue to be beneficial for everyone involved. And again, it's unrealistic that you're going to find one person, one friend outside of your family who's going to supply you with everything that you need. Look at what Paul writes in Ephesians 4:11-13. Says this: now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And can I tell you, this isn't just talking about the staff or the campus pastors. This is talking about all of you guys. You are the church, all right? Verse 13, it says this: this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And so we need to be a part of a community that's bigger than just our spouse, our kids, and our family, because we need access to a broader set of strengths and gifts that we're likely to find in relationships with people outside of our family. Right? For example, my wife, she needs that friend who's going to eat cottage cheese with her, because I'm not doing it. How many of y'all like cottage cheese? I'll pray for you. Don't worry. I'll pray for you. You putting that stuff in your body, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Right? I need that friend who's going to go play 18 holes of golf with me and not judge me for how I'm playing. Right? I need that friend who I can call for advice when I'm hitting a roadblock at work. I need that friend that I can call when all of a sudden crisis comes. And I know if I call them, they will drop everything and give me their time, their energy, and their attention. Right? My wife needs that one friend that she can call and vent to when she's frustrated with me. Right? And they're going to listen. They're going to care for her. They're not going to judge her. Right? You need that one friend who you can ask to pray with and for you, because you know they'll actually do it and not just say it. You need that one friend who's going to remind you of all that God is doing and has done in your life and encourage you to keep going. All these friendships I've described above are all healthy for us. They make us better people. Maybe not better golfers, but better people. And hopefully they help us to become more like Jesus, because again, that's the goal. The goal of this journey is just to become more like Jesus. And we need all sorts of things in life depending on what's going on with us and what season we find ourselves in. And most of the time, God provides us with what we need through relationships. Not just in our family, but outside of your family. Maybe you need spiritual guidance. Maybe you need professional help or therapy. Maybe you just need accountability. Can I tell you all those things outside of your family? Look at what Proverbs 13:20, it says this, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. And so the smart thing to do is to connect our lives to people who are wise in the area that we need wisdom in. Right? So if I need wisdom when it comes to parenting, I'm going to connect to people who've been doing it. I'm going to connect to people who maybe their kids are out of the house. Right? Because I'm trying to learn. How do you get your kid to stop throwing their food? And man, when you ask parents, they give you the most encouraging advice. They say it doesn't stop. I said, thanks for the help. I said, that's helpful. Right? Right? If you need wisdom in the area of your finances, it doesn't make sense for you to go connect your life to someone who hasn't figured it out yet. You want to get around somebody who is wise with their money. They're great stewards with what they have. Right? And this verse doesn't just tell us the benefits of walking with the wise, but the drawbacks of walking with those who are unwise or foolish. Just like there's a list of the types of friends that would be healthy for you to have, there's a whole other list of friends that maybe for a season you find yourself in that would be unhealthy for you to have. Some of us in our desperation, though, to feel close to somebody or anything, lose our desire or ability to discern what's actually healthy for us, right? And so we latch on to anything and anybody, oftentimes at the cost of our spiritual, emotional, mental, and even our physical health. Look at what Proverbs 18:24, it says this, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. And this is an intense and extreme claim, but it's true, right? A friendship that maybe was healthy and great in one season, as you continue to grow and evolve, it might not be healthy for you anymore. All right, we are the sum of who we surround ourselves with, and the journey of faith and growing in our relationship with Jesus is ultimately one where you and I are becoming like him, and who we surround ourselves with plays such a significant part in that journey. And so here's what we want to encourage you to do this week. Tell your family who your closest friends are and ask if they're helping you become more like Christ. Tell your family who your closest friends are and ask if they're helping you become more like Christ. And then do the wise thing with your real answer. If they're making you more like Jesus, maybe it's important to increase the amount of time that you spend with them. Right? If they're not helping you become more like Jesus, you don't have to get rid of the relationship, but maybe you have to create a new boundary with that friendship and spend less time with them. Not that you are pushing them to the side, but you've got to know, man, once I spend this amount of time with you, that's when it starts to go off track for me. But I still want to be your friend. I think there's value in this relationship because maybe God's doing something bigger. Right? So I don't want to get rid of you, but I got to figure out the right boundary to have because I still have to make sure that I'm healthy as well. We don't just need friends in addition to our families. We need the right kind of friends to help us become the right kind of family. Look at what Romans 12, 4 through 5, it says this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have our family, but our family is only going to be as healthy as our involvement in the larger family of God. And can I tell you, this is encouraging, great news for those of us who maybe come from a broken family, or maybe find ourselves in a season of life where we're single and we're trying to figure out what community looks like for us. This is great news because your community is not dependent on the home that you grew up in. There's a bigger family that you get to be a part of. And as the worship team comes back to join me, can I tell you that if I was just solely dependent on the house that I grew up in, my parents and my sister, I would not be where I'm at today. I can tell you that. Right? And you know, I've talked about this story. I've shared this story. My parents know that we talk about it, and because we just believe it helps people now. But when I was in sixth grade, my sister was in ninth grade, we had discovered that my dad was having an affair. And so in that moment, everything I thought about family was shattered. Everything that I thought about my dad was shattered in a moment. And so now what became my greatest fear was the idea of marriage. Why? Because all I knew was what existed in my home. And I did not want that to be my story. But I didn't realize that there could be a better way or a different way or a healthy way. Right? And in that moment of all of that stuff unraveling and us navigating that as a family, my relationship with my dad completely changed. And so now I don't just have a fear of getting married. I have a fear of having a kid. And specifically having a son. And God, because he's funny, gives me a son. But my greatest fear is always, man, like I don't want my relationship with my son to be the same as my relationship with my dad growing up. Why? Because that's all I knew. Because up until a certain point in my life, my community had not expanded outside of my family. But I would not be the husband that I'm trying to grow into if it weren't for people outside of my family showing me a different way, showing me a healthy way, showing me a better way. I wouldn't be the dad that I'm trying to grow into if it weren't for people outside of my family who showed me that there's a better way, there's a healthy way. Because we all need healthy relationships outside of our family to continue to grow and experience our God-given destiny, whatever that may be. And here's the beauty of it all. Where I'm at now, I was the first person in my family to actively start a relationship with Jesus, start to follow Jesus. As a 14-year-old kid, I'm coming home and I'm talking about faith and I'm talking about God. I'm talking about Jesus. And my parents are like, what are you talking about? And then at 16, I come home and I tell my mom, hey, I want to be a pastor. And she looks at me and she says, yeah, but you're not going to make a lot of money. And I said, how do you know? And she said, oh, I know. And then at the same time, I tell my dad, hey, I'm quitting baseball because I don't want to do that anymore. There's something else I want to do. There's something else I want to give my life to. Which creates a whole nother rift in our relationship that was already broken. And so I start going down this journey of doing things that, can I tell you, were not happening in my home. But if I was completely dependent on my home for my spiritual health, can I tell you, I would not have gotten very far. But I got into a community much like this one. And I had people who were gracious enough to give me their time, to give me their words, to give me their wisdom, to give me their example, to show me that, man, you can be all that God wants you to be. There is a better way, there's a healthier way. And here's the powerful thing is, it's not just about me moving forward with my family. Right? It's not just about the family that I have now with Tess and my son. I'm still a part of this family. So it's not about me just saying, you know what? You guys were terrible. I'm just going to go on and live my life. No, 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 no. I get to go back. And I get to be better for this family. I get to be a better son to my dad. I get to forgive him. I get to love him in spite of. Why? Because I know there's a better way. I get to be a better son to my mom because there's a better way. And so if your story is similar to mine, can I just encourage you that if you're still, you're sitting in this room, there is a better way. And you can experience it. But you can't do it on your own. There might be some people sitting around you that you need to invite into your life to give you their time, their wisdom, their example, their experience. Not just so that you can be better moving forward, but so you can also be better for what you come from. And that's not been easy. But can I tell you, man, our family looks so different than what it did when I was a 14-year-old kid. And all of that is possible because of all of the people that I invited into my life outside of that family. It's made that better. It's making me better today. And I believe wholeheartedly it's going to keep making me better moving forward. Can I pray for us?
Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.